sharing with you about righteousness. Anybody been studying this? Are y'all here? Amen. You can't just wait to hear it and then don't do anything with it. You got to go ahead and meditate this. Meditate the word of God and things will begin to happen for you and in your life. Amen. We share with you this session about righteousness. We began it last Wednesday, and we're talking about righteousness, a reflection of Almighty God. And our springboard scripture, or what we use to launch this, is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. But I want us to look at verse 9. This is Paul talking. He said, "And that I may," this is from the Amplified Bible, "and that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own, based on my obedience to the law's demands, the ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One, the truly right standing with God which comes from God by saving faith. Verse 10, for by determined purpose, or for my determined purpose, is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection." That power is righteousness, which it exerts over believers, "and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death." Glory to God. Amen. And so we share with you that there are three things you need to know. There's a difference between righteousness by works, which is the law, and righteousness, which is by faith. And the second thing is that when you're the righteousness of God, it means that you can stand before God without the sense of guilt, without a sense of condemnation, or without a sense of inferiority. Amen. You stand before God as though you have never sinned. Amen. That's why you have to meditate this word. Amen. Because we've been groomed in sin. We've been groomed in darkness. We were born into it. And now that Christ has redeemed us and we received his redemptive work, we are born again. Now we must get our minds renewed to who we are in Christ and what he has done for us and what he has purchased for us by his blood. The third thing we need to know, we mentioned, is that being made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus also means that you have an equality with God and a responsibility to God. We told you that righteousness is your new nature. Righteousness is your new garment, and righteousness is your new position. Amen. And we talked to you about we are God's reflection according to Genesis. You know, God said everything was made after his kind. It had a model to function from. God made the model, but when it came to man, God was the model. So he made man, created man in his own image and likeness, according to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And so we told you that God simply wanted man to be a reflection of himself. And I don't quite know where we left off at, but we'll pick up at point A, that we're another speaking spirit. Say, "I'm a speaking spirit." Tell your neighbor, because they may not understand who you really are. Say, "I am a speaking spirit." And so point A says that we are another speaking spirit, and God is a spirit, so is man also, because he's made, and we're made in the image of God. And if we're made like God, then we got to speak like him as well. Amen. With that thought in mind, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to look at something. This is not on your notes, but you can include it. Amen. Every word of God has life in it, and it will bless you indeed. 1 Corinthians 15, and find verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, because when God made Adam, he made an exact duplicate of himself. When God made Adam, he made an exact duplicate of himself. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. Are you there? "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam," everybody say, "the last Adam." That's in reference to the Lord Jesus. "The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, talking about Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So we are born again, and guess whose image we bear? The image of Christ. Amen. And so you got to understand that. Amen. Jesus, Adam was a duplicate of God. But let's take a look at how Jesus is. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Keep in mind what we just read. Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Well, go to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Everybody say all things. See, Jesus is the heir of all things, and we are now joint heirs with him. He's heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds through him. Verse 3. Talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He's the brightness of God's glory and the express image. If you want to see what God looks like, you look at Jesus. There he is. Amen. So Adam messed up. Jesus did what needed to be done. And when we receive him, all of us are now hidden in him. So it ain't going to be no more mess up. Amen. This is too much for you. Amen. Amen. So God made us. Jesus is an exact image. He's the exact, the express. You want to see the image of God? Jesus is that expressed. Amen. Amen. And so we are a speaking being. Say, I'm a speaking being. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to understand that there are some things that many of us are waiting for God to do on our behalf, but he's already done it. He's waiting on you to speak to it. There are some things that you need to start declaring. You got to declare what the word has said. Amen. And don't wait for things to look favorable. Your words will change the situation. Amen. You have to begin to speak the word of God where the situation is concerned, because whatever God has said, when you speak it, that thing starts coming to pass. Amen. It will start happening. You get it in, meditate the word, get it in your heart, and you begin to speak it by faith. You keep speaking the word until you become convinced of it, and then you'll start seeing things happen. You'll realize that a force came up out of your belly when you spoke. See, a lot of times we'll start saying, by his stripes I'm healed, by his stripes I'm healed. The more you start meditating that and declaring it, then one day, at some point, when that comes out of your mouth, it's going to come out with the force of faith. The force of life comes out with it, and you'll see that stuff starts changing in your body. Amen. Because we are another speaking spirit. Amen. And so we told you that God did this. He did this with Adam, teaching him how to speak, because he made him the God of this world, the God of this earth. And he was to operate just like God operates. Now, the Spirit of God is here in the earth. He lives on the inside of us, and he's teaching us how to operate just like Jesus in our world. Amen. So you got to look. He's teaching you how to talk. That's why you got to be careful what comes out your mouth. So look at point B. Why your confession is important. Psalms 102 and verse 107 and verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what?
Say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord do what?
Say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if you're redeemed, and we are, then we must begin to declare, make the declaration of redemption. And redemption made us righteous. That's why I keep telling you to keep declaring that I'm righteous. Go ahead and make the declaration.
I'm righteous.
Amen. Genesis 2 and verse 19. This may be a little recap, but it's worth looking at again. Genesis 2 and verse 19 and 20 says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to do what?
To see what he would call
them. To do what?
Underline
the word to see, the statement to see, because here's what it means. God made them and then brought them to Adam. God wanted to see something. But to see means this. It means to joyfully look upon and have respect for the decision made. God stood back with joy in his heart to watch, to observe what Adam would breathe upon these. Because when he named them, he breathed life to them. He breathed life to them. And to see what, or to joyfully look upon and have respect for Adam's decision about what he would call them. Now, to call them, this word call actually refers to cause to come forth. Remember when Jesus spoke, when he told them to remove the stone from Lazarus' tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He released life. And the dead man's spirit came back into his body. But his body was wrapped up, and he hopped out of that grave. And then he said, take that stuff off, loose him, and let him go. Did you know later on that Jesus was having a dinner, and Lazarus, after he'd been raised, was there? And some of the Jews wanted to kill Jesus, and they wanted to kill Lazarus too, because he was a living testimony. They wanted Lazarus dead too. So stop tripping when it seems like folks don't want you around. Amen. If you begin to walk, because see, you find out that when Jesus spoke to Lazarus and told him to come forth, he's walking in righteousness. He's operating as a man, a righteous man. He's righteous. And he knew it. He knew it. That's why we have to meditate this, because there are things that you're going to encounter in life, and it will require you to stand in righteousness to overcome it. But you can't wait till you get to that situation and they go, what was that they told me to say about 6 months ago? They told me we're supposed to be saying something. Ain't no time to be trying to figure out. You don't know who you are. Okay. When Satan tempted the Lord in the wilderness, he came to him and said, if you be, trying to see if he knows who he is. And Jesus didn't trip out. I am. That is me. I am. He didn't do none of that. Because when you know who you are, you don't have to trip out. Amen. Amen. If I walked up to you, Raymond Jackson, if I walked up to him and said, your name ain't Raymond, he doesn't have to argue with me. If he gets to arguing with me, then you could question, maybe he really don't know what his name is. Well, he's been around too long to not know what his name is. Right? And so we've got to begin to understand that we're the righteousness of God, but the only way to get that settled on the inside of you is that you and I, we must begin to meditate the word of God and see that our life is hidden in Christ Jesus and he has declared us righteous. Now say it again. Say, I'm the righteousness of God
in Christ Jesus.
Say, that means I'm in right standing with God. Without condemnation, without guilt, without inferiority. It is as though sin never ever existed in my life. Amen. That is righteousness. And it's not our own. This is what Jesus has purchased and given to. Actually, it's a gift. He gave it to us. Amen. So, I like this. So God brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, I like this, because when God brought him to Adam to see what he would call him, God, with joy in his heart, stood back and observed joyfully to see what Adam would call them, what he would name them. And whatever he named them, the scripture says, that's what they became. You study scripture from that point on, God didn't change the names of the animals. He referred to them by what Adam had already named them. When he talked about the leopard, when he talked about the lion, hello. Adam had named them. But here's what's interesting. When Adam named them, that's when life came to them. So when their eyes opened, because see, this is it's the pattern of God. When God breathed, spoke life to Adam. Life comes from him to Adam. Adam opened his eyes. And guess whose eyes he was looking at? He looked right into the eyes of Almighty God. So when those animals opened their eyes, guess who they whose face they looked into? They looked into Adam's. They saw the God of this world, the God of this earth. They saw Adam. And that's why they understood, every animal understood, man is in charge. Man is in charge. It wasn't until after they came off the ark, then God said, now the animals will be afraid of you. Go back and read it. God told him, said, now the animals will be afraid of man. But up until that point, that's how he could get them on the ship. They had to obey man. Come on, giraffe. Get sister girl. Get Mrs. Giraffe. Y'all, come on. I need two of y'all on the ark. The power of words, the power of the authority that man understood it, because see, they weren't too far away from Adam. Okay. If you take your pen and some paper and do a chart, a graph, and go to Genesis chapter 5 and start where it starts giving the genealogy from Adam and so forth, and you just start listening, it talks about so-and-so lived for so many years and begot so many, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and at this age they died, you know, even including Methuselah and all that. You'll find that while the time when it gets to Enoch, and said Enoch was taken, God took him by 300 some years, just took him off the earth. See, we can't wrap our brain around somebody living without looking, quote, decrepit. You know, you get to 100, you know, it's like, oh, they wrinkled, they are pruned, dried out. And you get what I'm saying? Because it's like the body just starts breaking down. But they lived, Adam lived 900 some years. But if you do the chart, you'll find that while Enoch was alive, Adam was alive. Adam's still alive. Because I asked the Lord, I said, how did he know how to walk with you? He said, the one that walked with me was still alive. Once man sinned, Adam didn't move too far away from where he was. Once God put him out the garden, he didn't travel all over. If he hadn't sinned, he could go wherever he wanted to go at the speed of thought. Sin caused us to lose a whole lot. That's why even educators and psychologists and all that, they tell us we've only been using a small percentage of our brain. That's why they say a mind is a... But people waste it because we don't know who we are. We don't know what God has done. God engineered, he designed this body to never die. Medical science is still flabbergasted at it. Look how this thing works. Cells renew, what is it, every 10 years or so? Regenerate themselves. And that's with sin around. So guess what's going to happen when you get your glorified body? It's going to be you in your prime. It's going to be you in your prime. When my grandmother died, she and I had a deal about our age. And she said, come here, boy, let me tell you the secret to staying young. I said, what is it? She leaned over and told me, she said, just get a number and stay right there. I said, that sounds pretty good to me. I said, I'm 35. She said, you can't be 35. I said, why not? She said, that's my number. So I got 36. I'm 36 every year. Amen. And go to the store, like Pastor Cheryl said, and whatever you need to remain there, you can get it. But here's the point. Here's what I want you to get. When she died, the Lord gave me this dream, and I saw the angels, two angels, came to her home, and she was laying in the bed, and she looked up and saw them, and she slid to the edge of the bed and sat up on the side of the bed and stood up to go with them. But when she stood up, her body fell backwards. And my mother found her sitting on the side of the bed. She had just fallen backwards, like she was trying to get out the bed. And one was on one side, one was on the other side. They had her by the arm, and they flew off with her, flew into heaven. And then I saw them coming to what looked like a landing dock. And there was a group of people there waiting for her. And they came, when they brought her to this place, it was family and friends that had already gone on. And they were all just rejoicing. And it's like all of them looked like they were recreated. And they were youthful. My grandma looked like she was 24 years old. And they all hugged and, you know, it was a family reunion. And then she looked at them and she said, I'm so glad to see y'all. She said, but I got to see him. I got to see him. Where is he? And they all stood. They were all gathered around. They stood and they looked at her and they were all smiling. And then the crowd parted and he was standing at the back of the crowd. And she took off running. She said, my Lord and my God, took off running and jumped up in his arms like a little girl, had her legs wrapped around him. And when she was hugging him and kissing him all on the cheek, and, you know, just, and he was just laughing. And I was like, Lord, he said, son, when I left, how old was I? 33. Prime. The old folks used to say, we're going to a land where we'll never grow old. Amen. So I'm saying that so that we can start. See, the enemy likes to crowd you out where all you see is just what you're dealing with. And you can just be dealing with what you're dealing with and look up and 30 years will have passed. You still ain't dealt with it. But when you know who you are, this is just temporary. It's temporary housing. While I'm doing a work in the earth, we're going to heaven. But God wants us to be successful in this earth, doing kingdom business. And you back all of hell up from you when you begin to declare, I'm the righteousness of God. You can't pull that on me. Remember when Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves? You know, the disciples were tripping out, but Jesus knew that he was the righteousness of God. He knew that he's righteous. So he stands up, wakes up out of a sleep, goes up on the top side of the ship, you know, like most of us would do. You stretch and kind of get yourself, you know, even if it's the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing over the ship. And he said, shut up. You know you weren't created to act like that. And the wind's like, sure would. And it all stopped. That's really what he said. Because everything that was created, it was done through him. So he know how to win, how to act. Our life, we're hidden in. Does this make sense? We're hidden in him. So if you don't know what to do in a situation, he has been made to you wisdom. And in him is all the treasures of wisdom. Everything God knows is in him. So we can tap into it. We got direct access to it, access to the files. So you'll know what to say to the situation. In the name of Jesus, shut up. He didn't make you to act like that. And when you say it, it's just like him saying it. So the wind's like, oh, no, you sure is right. Some of you need to start talking to your money. Your money was not to be funny. Working 17 jobs and it still ain't making ends meet. Something's wrong with that picture. Amen. So our confession is important. Because we've been made in God's image and likeness. One part of man is that we're like God is that it's the fact that we do have the creative ability to speak creatively. We got the ability to speak creatively. So the words that come out your mouth, wherever your life is a result of what's been coming out your mouth. Wherever your life is at, it is a result, a direct result of the words that's been coming out of your mouth. You know, the devil just doing this. He can't make you say nothing. The devil does not have creative ability. He was created an angel with an assignment. God anointed him for that assignment. He gave him wisdom for that assignment. He corrupted that wisdom. He was anointed to do that job, and that anointing became corrupted and perverted. But he doesn't have the anointing that Jesus has. He ain't even on the level. He was created a servant. Amen. Jesus is Lord of all. He's God. Amen. And then he defeated the devil. So any way you twist it, turn, and look at it, we are more than conquerors. We should never be under the enemy's foot. The Bible says we tread over lions, we tread upon lions and serpents. We tread upon scorpions. The enemy's supposed to be under your feet. But if you don't know that you're the righteousness of God, then he will always try to make a chump out of you. Amen. So he can't speak creatively, so he needs access to your mouth. He needs access to your mouth. So he brings thoughts to you. That's why Jesus said, take no thought saying. Go to Matthew 6. Jesus talking to us. Matthew 6, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 25. Therefore I say, this is Jesus talking. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, about what you... nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they, than a bird? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit or one inch to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That means you don't believe he's done it. It sounds good, but I can't grab it. You don't need something to sound good. You need something that you can sink your teeth into. Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying. Do not worry, saying. Your worry is expressed from your mouth. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. For all these things the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You do not take thoughts and say them. That's the only way the enemy can get you to say things. You speak contrary to the word of God, then you're speaking what he needs, and then you're licensing him or some devil to be turned loose in your life. Say, I'm another speaking spirit. Amen. Now, okay. Let's see, you in Matthew. Well, keep your finger in Matthew. Go over to Proverbs 18. since we're talking about speaking. Familiar scripture, but don't think because you read it before, well, I ain't got to look over that. I know that one. Okay. The word of God is layered with revelation and will always release something to you if you approach the word with reverence. Don't approach it like you know it. Proverbs 18, look at verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Y'all got it? A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Say my mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. See, a lot of times we don't like how life is, but we're the one that's been decreeing it. It came out of our mouth. Amen. Look at verse 21. Death and life are in the of what? Power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So death and life are in the custody of the tongue. Death and life are in the dominion of your tongue. Death and life are in the fellowship of your tongue. Death and life are in the force, the ministry, the service of your tongue. And those who indulge will eat its fruit. So here's what happens. Your tongue, because you've been created by God in his image and likeness, and he breathed himself. We're an image of him. We're made in his image and likeness. He made man a duplicate of himself. Another speaking spirit. When God breathed into man, the King James says he became a living soul. But the Shumash, the Hebrew rendition of this, says that he became another speaking being, another speaking spirit. There was only God that could speak creatively. So we're made in God's image and likeness. So we had, Adam had the ability. That's why God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Adam would, he went out here chopping in the ground and trying to, let me plant some corn, let me plant some more trees. He spoke it. Any expansion in your life, it's going to come from your mouth. And your life will follow it. Amen. So it wasn't like the whole earth was a Garden of Eden. It was just a place that God started. If you go and study it, Eden means the city of beginnings. So Adam was to reproduce himself and reproduced the garden till it covered the whole earth. So now that we're born again, God is saying, okay, now let's get back to my business at hand. Let's grow in the things of God, understand how the kingdom operates, and reproduce ourselves. Bringing others into the kingdom. How can you live like that? Everybody else around is broke. I'm not subject to the world system. Well, you look like everybody else. Yeah, but I'm supernatural. I'm not just a man. You're not just a woman. We're supernatural. Amen. Greater is he that lives in us. This ain't no sunny boy that lives in us. So our tongue turns on the law of life or the law of death. That's why the devil wants your mouth. Because if you speak for him, you will turn on. Well, ain't nothing working. That's the law of death. And you know what happens? Death starts working because you just said ain't nothing working. And death comes in and makes sure nothing works. The harder I try, the worse it gets. So the harder you try, you're forced to try harder and it gets worse. Why? Because death is at work. We've been delivered from death. We've been delivered from death. That's why you boldly declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And somebody will tell you, oh, you're just trying to be, you self-righteous. No, it's his righteousness. It's a gift. He gave it to me. Don't get mad at me because I received the gift. If it's bothering you, receive it. He's giving it to you too. No big I's, no little U's. Every child of God is on the same level with God. And the Bible says that he loves us just like he loves Jesus. Jesus prayed that. That they'll know. That the world will know that you love them as much as you love me. Oh, sookie now. Watch this. Now that we are redeemed and declared righteous, we have to live like God lives, and that's by faith. But nothing begins to happen in your life until you receive God's endorsement and him as a father giving you your identification. And in Christ Jesus, he's given it to us. You're righteous. When the angels see you, they do this. Because they know you are God's child. The problem is God's got children walking around that don't know that they're royalty. We act like, well, you know, please to Jesus, you know, and the enemy loves it. Because if he can find someone who does not know who they are, they will pass it on. Because we are wired by God to reproduce ourselves. Okay. Jesus was on this earth for 30 years. And it wasn't until John the Baptist baptized him and he come up out the water, then God released an endorsement identifying who he was. Jesus didn't do nothing up until then. He was just another guy in town. Because there was a whole lot of folks named Jesus. That was a common name. In Hebrew, it's called Joshua, Yeshua. So it's just like saying Joe. You got a room full of 300,000 people, and there's 30,000 of them named Joe. You say, Joe! All of them turn around. Then God said, this one right here, is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Ain't nobody never heard God say that before. God spoke out of heaven, and everybody heard it. And hell heard it too. And immediately, here comes Satan. Can I tell you something? When the enemy speaks to you, stop listening. Because he's always lying. Come on now, you know if he lie to God, he gonna lie to you. Well, I ain't nowhere on these notes, huh? Go look at the story of Job. The sons of God, the angels, were presenting themselves before God. Satan shows up in the bunch. But he ain't in the bunch with them because he's got to stay afar off. But it don't matter where you are. Wherever you are, God can see you. So he's standing off in the shadows. And God says, where you been? He said, I've been going to and fro, up and down the earth, checking out things. And you know what God said? God said, where you been? What you been doing? He didn't tell the truth. So God busted him. He said, you've been looking at my servant Job, ain't you? You've been checking out Job. Ain't nobody like him in all the earth. So if ain't nobody like him in all the earth, you ain't messing with somebody that's goofing off over here. Your job immediately goes, Satan's job immediately goes to try to do something to the one that ain't nobody like him. God brags on him. Ain't nobody else like him in the whole earth. So you got your eyes on him. God said, you've been looking at Job. Ain't ya? You're the righteousness of God. God said Job, under the old covenant, was an upright man, considered right with God. We have a new covenant. Jesus has, he's the perfect sacrifice. Any more sacrifice has got to be offered up. He's it. We receive, he's righteous. And he says, I give it to you as a gift. You don't have to do nothing to earn it. Here, just do you want it? Oh, no, I don't want to be trying to be thinking more than I am. Come on now, you telling God he don't know what he's talking about? That's why you have to keep saying. That's why you got to understand the power of your confession. Amen. Saying it one or two times, 10 times, 20 times won't make it sink in. Does this make sense? So, go over to Matthew 12. I told you to hold on to Matthew. Because your tongue will release the law of life or the law of death. Say, my tongue. Matthew 12. Look at verse 37. For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. Uh-oh. Your words, you'll be justified. That word justified, it means to be declared righteous. So, God declares you righteous the moment you get born again. Now, from that point, it's up to you to make the declaration. But if you're not making a declaration that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then you're making a declaration that goes under the category of condemnation. And Romans chapter 8 says, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. It's the opposite of righteousness. So by your words, is this too much? You will be justified. You'll be declared righteous. God has declared it. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, the Census Bureau in heaven has all the documentation on you. The day you got born again. And what your standing is with God. And that is, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All the benefits of the kingdom, all that Jesus is heir to, you are joint heir to it as well. That's what heaven says. So it's got to be said in the earth. It's established there. You establish it in the earth. Amen. So how does God see you? Well, look at your paper, point C. Psalms 82, verse 1 through 7. It says, verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, small g. How long will you judge unjustly and accept a person of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. That's our job. They do not know, neither will they understand, because they walk in darkness. And the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6, I have said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now, go to St. John chapter 10. I don't know if this is on your paper or not, but St. John chapter 10. Because we're talking about, we got to find out how God sees us. Because remember, we told you that the way you see yourself is the way you think others see you. So let's find out how God sees us, and let's allow the Spirit of God to work on changing the image of how we see ourselves. Did you know the image? We're made in His image and likeness, and we bear the image of Christ. Guess what that image is? It's righteousness. It is an image of righteousness. Say, I got a new image. It's called righteousness. Amen. So that's what God wants to do. I want you to see how I see you. And then that's got to be transferred here. Now, St. John 10. Are y'all getting anything from this? Look at look at verse 31. Well, right before this says, I and my Father are one. This is Jesus talking. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. See, every time they saw him, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. Anybody ever been hit with a rock? You know, it doesn't feel good. Just imagine a whole crowd of folks with a bunch of rocks, not little pebbles, but a bunch of big rocks, bricks. All of them want to throw it at you at the same time. That's where they were with Jesus. Come on, you look at the evening news over in the Middle East, they always chunking rocks. Chunking. They good at throwing rocks. They've got centuries of that, so they good at that stuff. So they took up stones again to stone him. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because that you being a man," you being a man, "make yourself God." That's what they want to kill him for. They said, that's blasphemy. No man can be on God's level. And that's what back up saints now. Oh, no, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 34, Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law?" You're the one supposed to teach the law. "Is it not written in your law?" So that means that you've been overlooking this one. I said, talking about God said, I said, you are God's. Now, if God said it, who gonna tell him he's wrong? Verse 35, "If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken." If he called them that in the Old Testament, under the law. Verse 36, "Do you say of him whom the Father has sanctified," God did this, "and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said, I agree with God, that I am the Son of God." All he's doing is saying what God said. Jesus even said, "I don't do anything of myself except for what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father wants me to say." That's all we do. Just say, God said it, I agree with it. He declared me righteous. So stay on it till you believe it. So Jesus understood in whose image he was created. Do you? Is Ephesians 1 on your outline? Ephesians 1 verse 3. Let me say this. If you don't understand that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll never tap into your inheritance. And the blessing is your inheritance. It's a part of your inheritance anyway. Ephesians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he has," past tense, "chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Without blame. Holy and without blame. The devil can't pull nothing on you, because when God look at you, there's no blemishes on you. You're righteous. You ain't got to try to be holy. You holy. I'm holy. Face all tore up. Got hair 17 feet on top of your head. You got, you know, where your ladies wear their clothes down past their toes. The skirt wet because it's raining outside. You know, and men, everybody frowned up, you know, trying to convince everybody I'm holy. That's just a bad attitude. Because when you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and that you are holy, you ain't right standing with God, it causes you to smile. Not frown up. Not look crazy. I'm going to tell your neighbor, say, get that frown off your face. That's what's self-righteous.
It's just a few of us around.
keep that up, we have to pray the Lord, let your face stay like that. Look at verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children. Now, adoption don't mean that you're second rate. It's referring to now that you're in the family, you can't be tossed out. And you have, even legally, in the natural, once you're adopted, you can't be cut out from all the inheritance of the family. Same as blood. Well, we came into the family by blood. Amen. Holler this out. Say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Glory to God. Predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God got joy out of that. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If you have redemption, that means you're saved. If that means you're saved, it means you're righteous. Verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And what is that? You go over to Colossians, two books down from Ephesians, and it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. So any way you look at it, we're righteous. Say, I'm righteous. So I said all that to say, God sees you as a righteous son in Christ Jesus. Amen. Last scripture, Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. See, so there's no race, no group of people that's better than another group. Nobody's less than. You're born again, you are a child of God. And let me tell you something. The kingdom and all the benefits of the kingdom, all that God has for all of us, that continues to increase. He doesn't give he doesn't have a little Christmas present, a little box, you know. And, I'm just so glad, a little rag doll for the girls and little cap guns and big wheels for the boys and, you know, cowboys and girls. It ain't none of that. What God has for us is overwhelming. It staggers the mind, and it's increasing just like the universe is increasing. Because it's how God gives. Super abundantly. And so we got to understand, I'm righteous. See, if I don't understand that I'm righteous and don't begin to declare it, I will never expect super ridiculous, crazy, blow my mind abundance. I will settle for just a little bit. All right. Don't y'all try to rush me now. I'm feeling good right through here. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. So, ladies, don't let nobody put you down. Don't let nobody try to make you some second-rate citizen.
The Bible said a woman's supposed to be quiet in the church. Then,
why are you letting her teach Sunday school? Amen. Look at verse 29. And since, or if you be Christ, since you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs. Say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
According to the promise. So everything that God has for Jesus is mine. That's why you hear me saying, we'll never be broke another day in our life. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is a free gift. He gave it to us. Our job is to receive it and start declaring it. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory to God.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.